I thought we'd take a look at something that's a little confusing in the religious world. I think everything's confusing in the religious world, isn't
Right.
I want to look at foreknown, predestinated, and called. Okay? And those are all in these two verses that we're going to read here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Carrie, since you're right over here,
yes.
Why don't you read for us, please, 29 and 30.
Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
A lot of things in those two verses, all right? And this morning we don't have time to get into all of them, so we're not going to handle justified and glorified, which are really awesome in themselves, right? But I thought we'd take a look at this foreknow, predestined, and call, all right? We're going to take a look at those. Now, it says that in verse 29, whom he did foreknow, it says he also did predestinate. The word foreknow is a Greek word prognosko. Pro is before. It's the word for before. We use that in a lot of words we have today. And then the word gnosko, most of you know that word means what? To know. Yes, to know experientially, Jim. So to know. So it's to know before. And that's all that this word means. A lot have been written into, people have thought about and surmised about this word. But according to the scriptures, that's as simple as it is. It says then, whom he did know before, who he knew before. Let's go to Acts. We're going to be coming back to Romans, by the way, okay? Acts 26. So whom he foreknew. And let's see, who did God foreknow? And let's look at how this word is used in another place in the Bible, okay? Here in Acts chapter 26. Carrie, you want to read 4 and 5?
Sure do. Acts 26, verse 4 and 5.
All right.
My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee.
This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he said, look, you've known me since I was a kid, from a youth. You knew me. And that word knew is this same word, foreknow. They knew him before. They knew him before when? Before now. Before now, they knew him. They had seen him. They watched him grow. They'd seen him in Jerusalem. He was at the school of Gamaliel, as we all know. So they foreknew. God's not the only one that can foreknow something. Of course, things God can foreknow, people have no clue about. And let's look at that in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. Carrie, you want to keep reading?
Sure.
This is fun. Isaiah 46. You can save my voice for my next teaching. 46, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10.
46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
So if God can declare the end from the beginning, he must have some kind of foreknowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows. God knows. He knows before. We're going to see how very important this is in understanding some of the other words we're going to look at. And let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. One more. I had to throw this one in because I just love this verse. 4:17. I'll read this one, Carrie.
Okay.
You know, take a load off for a second here. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You know who he's talking to?
Abraham.
Exactly right. Before him whom he believed, even God, which quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, how can he do that? How can God call something that is not as if it already was? Because he foreknew. Does it make any difference to God if he knows something's going to happen? If at our point in our human timeline, haven't seen it yet? No, because God knew. Wish that was the return. Because, ding, we're out of here. This recording would just keep going and going and going. Because God foreknew. That's how he can say, even though you guys haven't seen it, he could talk about it as being in the past. Because he foreknew. Right, so that's what this word foreknow means, right? It's a very simple word in the Bible. People have done all kinds of things with it. We don't need all those things. Very simply, we let God define his terms. And we've seen quite clearly just from these few verses what this means. Okay, let's look at predestinate. So back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. By the way, that pregnosis, it's only used 5 times in the Bible anyway. So predestinate, this is the one people get all messed up about. Yeah. Predestinate is the word proorizo. Pro, what does pro mean?
Before.
You know what orizo means? I can help you with that. It means to mark out. It's to either determine or to mark out. Sometimes it's used in the sense of boundaries, right? So it's to mark out before. What's that, Jim?
Where we get our English word horizon.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The word horizon is also from this word orizo. Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Let's read it here again in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And in verse 29, it said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did what?
Predestinate.
Determined beforehand. What did he determine beforehand? To be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed to the image of his son. Those whom he foreknew, knew before, he determined also ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his son. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Flip a little bit to your right, 1 Corinthians. All right, Carrie, I need you again.
I'm ready.
Chapter 2, verse 7.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
So we're talking about some wisdom here. Now, God is all wise, isn't he? And you can read about 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 1. It just shows how ridiculous the wisdom of man is compared to the wisdom of God. Here in 1 Corinthians 2, 7, it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, because God kept it a secret, which God ordained before the world. The word ordained is this word proorizo. He determined beforehand, and it says before the world. The word world there is actually a word for ages, you know, time periods, and it's in the plural. He knew before the ages. God predetermined before the ages. So let's read it that way. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or concerning the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God predetermined before the ages unto our glory. So this great wisdom, and the wisdom he's talking about, is wisdom concerning what?
Us.
The mystery, which includes us. That great mystery. And what did he do? He determined beforehand that that would be the wisdom that we would have, the mystery, and he kept it secret. From before the foundation of the world, he kept it secret. So no one would know until God revealed it that we could have what we have today. Wow. Well, if God keeps a secret, he's pretty good at keeping a secret. So nobody knew. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. He determined beforehand. Now we're going to see how he did that. Here's another thing that throws people off. They think that he determined beforehand that Lynn would be somebody that he wanted, But he didn't like my friend over there, Patrick. You know, no, God didn't do that. Let's see how he predetermined. Where did he do this predetermining? Well, Ephesians 1 gives us a clue. Verse 5.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
This is very clear in Ephesians, and we're going to read Ephesians 1, some of it a little bit later. It says, having predestinated, okay, determined beforehand, unto the adoption of children. Adoption of children just means sonship. He determined beforehand that he was going to have sons, sonship, children, by Jesus Christ to himself. By Jesus Christ, very, very vital that we understand that that's this predetermination. The predetermination is by Jesus Christ. God determined way beforehand because of his foreknowledge. Predetermination is not possible without foreknowledge. If you can have foreknowledge, you can predetermine. If I know ahead of time that the Braves are going to win a game and you haven't seen that game yet, I can say to you, well, you know, the Braves win. And you go, well, how do you know that? Well, I saw it ahead of time. I saw it before you did, right? Well, if you can see ahead of time like God can, because he can call things that be not as though they were, then you can predetermine. And how he predetermined was in Christ, was in Christ. Look back to Romans chapter 8. In Christ. We're going to see a little more about that. Romans 8. Let's read that verse 29 again. I'm the one that didn't keep something in that little spot there. Romans 8. So 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he knew before, he also did predestinate. He determined before to be conformed to the image of his son. And now we see why that by Jesus Christ is there. These are the ones that he said to be conformed to the image of his son. And then it says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, you can't be a firstborn unless there's a second, right? God had predetermined that Jesus Christ would be the firstborn, meaning there would be others. And we have the privilege of being some of those others. See, God gave people free will. And where people get messed up in the religious world about this is they think that God doesn't give people free will, that he's already determined beforehand. So what difference does it make what Melissa thinks? Because it's all predetermined for her. You can't do anything about it, Melissa. That's not a great way to live life, is it? Well, it's also not true. God gave us free will. Just like the Braves, if I know the Braves win a game, they have free will to win or to lose. Of course, that has a lot to do with their ability and the other team, doesn't it? Yeah. But if I know that ahead of time, I know that. So I know that they're going to win. If God knows that Nicole is going to believe and he provided it beforehand, determined beforehand that in Christ, those that accept his invitation believe, and he can know that Nicole is going to believe. Right? It's very simple. Nicole has the free will to believe, but God knew ahead of time whether she would or not. And that's as simple as it is. I know it's easy for us to realize that, but it gets very convoluted in the religious world for people. Predestination is only possible because of foreknowledge. Now verse 30. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also what?
Called.
And whom he called, he justified, and we justified, he glorified. Called. There's two basic meanings in the Bible for this word called. And I'm going to show them both to you because it's really, really very simple. First one is in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Good for us sometimes just to go into God's word and to get a little into the words in God's word. You know, the accuracy of God's word matters. It matters a lot. If we know the truth of God's word, we can stand on it and we have power. So we want to always keep our mind sharp to know the accuracy of God's word. And we've been so well taught. We've been so well taught about how to work God's word, how to understand God's word, how to handle things that don't seem to fit, right? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is that what they say? Whatever that means. Did I tell you Luke?
Yeah.
Luke 2, carry verse 21, please.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
His name was called what?
Jesus.
That's one use of the word called. It's to name something. His name was called Jesus. You know, everyone, this is Taylor, right? She's named Taylor. That's one use, all right? It's very simple in God's word. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 21. Another meaning of the word called is to invite, or it can be even stronger, like we would say to summon, like you get a summons, right? What's that thing that, yeah, court. What's that thing? Jury duty, that's what I was thinking, right? Doesn't Juanita have jury duty or something?
She's been called.
Oh, she has jury duty, uh-oh. So that's a summons. That's a little stronger than invite. If she just decides not to go up, not to show up, there could be consequences, right? So that's the word called. It could be to summons or just be to invite, right? And here we see it in Matthew 4, verse 21, Carrie.
4:21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them.
He called them. What do you think that means in that verse?
Invited.
He invited them. He invited them, right? He said, follow me. And what did they do?
Follow him.
Well, let's read verse 22. We don't have to guess. 22, Carrie.
And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him.
And they followed him, right? So it was an invitation. He said, dudes, follow me. And what did they do? They did. He invited them. Now, it's kind of funny. He also did call these guys something. Remember, he named them something, these two dudes? The Sons of Thunder. I saw a movie. I never knew why Jesus called them the Sons of Thunder, but I saw one interpretation of that, that they were very combative with each other. So he called them the Sons of Thunder. You know, they kept making a lot of noise, like getting on each other and stuff. It doesn't say that in God's word, right? That's somebody's private interpretation. All we know is this verse says he called them. He said, let's go. And they said, okay. And they followed him. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This call is used a lot of times, like 100 and something times. And you can look at each one, and the way that you know which meaning of it is just by the context, right? If they call his name Jesus, it's pretty clear they didn't invite his name Jesus, right? That's just what they named him. It's not that difficult. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I'll read these. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, of course, the Apostle Paul writing this. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And this is God in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. He called us with an holy calling. Anyone know what the word holy means in the Bible? To set apart or to separate, exactly. He gave us a special calling. So it's called here a holy calling, all right? Not according to our works. You see, if it were a predestination according to our works or a calling according to our works, Kelly, who does much better things than I do, would have had much better chance of getting in than I would. And how could that possibly be? Well, we'll see that. That contradicts another verse in God's word. But it says, calling, this holy calling that we have, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. That's the calling because of his purpose and his grace, which was given in Christ Jesus. There it is again. In Christ Jesus, before the world began. So what did God determine beforehand? He determined beforehand that those who want to accept the calling was going to be in Christ Jesus. And he determined that before the world began. That this is how it was going to work. I was going to have my son, and by my son and those accomplishments, people could be called. They could accept the invitation. So God made the invitation, and Nicole is somebody who accepted that invitation. See how simple that is? It's not convoluted, and it gives us the freedom of will for us to choose, but God determined how that thing could be done. How beautiful that is. There were works involved. They weren't our works. They were the works of Jesus Christ in God that got us involved. What did we have to do? Believe. What did we believe? Romans 10, 9, and 10. That was it. And then we accepted the invitation. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense what's written in John 3, 16. The calling, the predestination, the purpose is in Christ. It's in Christ. And that's how God did it. Fantastic. No partiality. Well, who can say John 3, 16? Just one person. JM, do it, because everyone can hear you.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him.
Whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, should not perish. Can he say whosoever if he determined that, who did I say was going to get in and who wasn't? Melissa, you were going to get in?
Sure.
Yeah, that Melissa was going to get in, but my neighbor Patrick over there wasn't? It wasn't you I picked. Oh, it was Nicole. But you're in too because you accepted. How can he say that? How can God do that? How can he say whosoever if he picks Nicole over somebody else? He can't. But it was the invitation, and that calling is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. God has no partiality. He doesn't play favorites. We know in God's word it says he's not a respecter of persons, right? He's not. God is completely fair. He's the only one who is. Let's get honest, even you parents, right? He is the only one who really is fair. And so God made an invitation, and it was to any one of us that accepted. And everyone who accepted got everything that God predetermined in Christ. Everyone got it all. By the freedom of our will, we accepted the calling. We accepted the invitation. And then when we accepted the invitation, everything that's in Christ Jesus became ours. Where were our works involved? Sorry. Now you can do great works now that you are born again, right? The Bible tells us some stuff to do. But I want to read this in Ephesians chapter 1 because this really makes it clear that all this stuff is in Christ. Ephesians 1, we're going to start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because of our works.
Amen.
Oh, it says in what?
Christ.
In Christ, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world. See how it fits with those other verses we read? That God predetermined before the world began, it was in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be separated, we should be special to him, without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto sonship, the adoption of children, by whom? Jesus Christ. How did it happen? By Jesus Christ. He predetermined it in Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the what?
Beloved.
Well, who was the beloved?
Jesus Christ.
Christ. In whom? Who's the whom?
Jesus.
The whom is Jesus. Yep, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of. How beautiful and how fair, how awesome it is to see the great heart of our Father God, who has made this invitation, God who desires everyone in the world to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's this God that extended an invitation. How did he do it? So that it would be fair to all? He foreknew so he could predetermine, so he could determine ahead of time that those who accepted what Jesus Christ accomplished could then be sons. Freedom of will for anyone to accept that. And how simple he made it. Confess Jesus as Lord, believe God, raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Eternally, eternally set apart because of that. How awesome it is. We're going to close in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're special, yes, but not because we did so many great works. We're special because we accepted God's invitation. And God is so special and so wonderful in what he and Jesus Christ accomplished that we have all of these blessings. And we, like God, can look at the world and say, hey, you know what? You can have this too. God wants everyone to have it. And we have the ability to help people, to extend to them God's invitation. Kind of like those lights along the shore that we sang about, right? There's that great mercy, God calling people to him. As Jesus Christ said, God calls, but the one way to God is through whom?
Jesus Christ.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by what?
Me.
That's what Jesus Christ said. And then here we are. We can take our little lamps and we can say to people, guess what? You can have that light. You can also be separated from the common lot of people and you can have the great blessings of God, all spiritual blessings. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, 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 that word means pay attention, wake up, hello, behold. I should add you read, see, then I wouldn't screw up my voice. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That sure is some love. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And yet it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right now, we are sons of God. Right now, we can enjoy all of the blessings that are in Christ. And we've got to get to the place that we realize that all those things that are in Christ are available to us because of what Jesus Christ accomplished and not because of our works. Now that we are born again, now that we do have all those blessings, we can't talk ourselves out of righteousness. We can't talk ourselves out of being sanctified, set apart from the world. We can't talk ourselves out of being more than conquerors through him who loved us, that he's healed us, that he's helped us. Because those are rights that didn't have anything to do with our works, but on what God accomplished in Christ. Yeah, beloved, we're sons of God now.